Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waris-Din Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waris-Din Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waris-Din Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika Atabara Kasmuka Wata Ila Jaduka Wala Ilaha Jaduka. We begin with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Glory is to you, O Allah, and to you is the praise. And blessed is your name, and there is none to be served besides you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, welcome to the airways of American Muslim 360. This is the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this wonderful Saturday morning as we enter into another study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Walidzuddin Muhammad. We are grateful for your presence, and I strongly suggest, if we would, to bring pen and paper with us to each study session. Praise be to Allah. And if you would take notes and be willing to share your insight of what Allah has blessed you with from out of the wonderful addresses and lectures of Imam Walidzuddin Muhammad. I want to introduce you to him. Here we go.
What we are building in the United States of America for our life as Muslims in this country, we are doing it for ourselves, but we are doing it in the spirit of a true Muslim follower of the model man, Muhammad. God wants us to value common origin. It's more important to know that you are human in the mold God creates for you than it is for you to know that you are African, because you were first in the mold of human before you were in the mold of African. He was born of a woman. She had to change his diapers or wipe up behind him the spills that he left. I don't know, that can't be my God. My God is the God of the heavens and the earth, who created everything and never existed in any situation that made him dependent or weak or helpless. We are peacemakers. Our model, the Prophet Muhammad, the peacemaker. We should be liberators. We should be championing the cause of freedom of religion. It is God that has put you on solid foundations. Foundations that your own life, your own natural life, is asking for. It's asking for, because God made your life to ask for these things. God has driven us to come and embrace the great design of us, that he is us. God wants us to see ourselves not as Negroes, not as black people. God wants us to see ourselves as the Khalifa that he created.
Praise be to Allah. That was some very enlightening statements from our beloved Imam Walidzuddin Muhammad, and we shall review an address that he gave entitled Revelation for Divine Help. Revelation for Divine Help. We are, praise be to Allah. Okay, here we go. We shared part of it last week and ran out of time. And one of my colleagues asked if I would return back to that address. And I promised him I would. Let me see if I can. I had it queued up, but I wanted to play that presentation. Praise be to Allah. Here we go. And once again, I state I am grateful for everyone's presence every Saturday morning as we enter into a virtual classroom, and we share the addresses and lectures of Imam Muhammad, and we delve into them. We delve into them, and we call from out of these addresses the wonderful instructions, direction, the knowledge, the logic, the connection to scripture, and we call from out of it the way of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, so that we can enact these principles in our personal lives and in our community lives also, that we, to have knowledge is one thing, to use it is a better thing. Praise be to Allah. So without further ado, I want to, begin this address. It was given in Detroit, I believe. It is entitled Divine Help to Establish Unity. May we all benefit from the hearing. I will periodically pause the address and share with you some important public service announcements and ask you to press one on your phone if there is any comments that you would like to share with the study group assembled here or any questions that you may have. And I'm quite sure someone in this study group can answer those questions, inshallah. We begin the address right now at this time. Praise be to Allah.
American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. Praise be to Allah. The Lord, sustainer of all the worlds. We witness that he's one and needs nothing from any of his creations, but everything of his creations must depend upon him, is sustained, supported and sustained by him, the Lord God, creator of the heavens and the earth. And we witness that the message of Islam came to the world through Muhammad, the last prophet, the servant and messenger of God, who is called my God in the revelation, the Quran, the book of the Muslim, a mercy to all the worlds. We witness that he is God's servant and his messenger. The prayers and the peace be upon him. We have a topic or subject today, divine help. Divine help to establish community. I would like to begin by first sharing with you who don't know and reminding you who do of the societies on this earth that have been helped by God. They received divine help from God. The mic's a little sensitive here. They received divine help from God to establish community life. And they are known today for that. And they do not hide that from anybody. The Jews, as we call them, they received divine help to establish their community life. Many prophets came to them to help them establish their lives. But one of those prophets that they identify as, quote, the greatest of their prophets is Moses, Musa, in the language of our holy book, Musa. Musa, or Moses, came to give to them or lead them to community establishment. Community establishment. And this prophet, Moses, peace be upon the prophets, he's seen also as a liberator. That's one of his titles in the Jewish community, a liberator. He helped them to see their way out of bondage, out of subjection, slavery, subordination to another people that they say was against them having the life that God wants them to have. Called the Egyptians under a cruel leader, one of their pharaohs, Ramses. So these people, we call the Jewish people, they're well known for the help that they receive to establish themselves after bondage or after slavery in Egypt. That help that they received through Moses, it was divine help, came from God to them through Moses. We won't go to an event to describe or to share with you the actual things that occurred to bring them to have a community life after they were subjects of a cruel pharaoh and oppressive Egypt, according to, well, I would say both scriptures, their scriptures and also Quran, our Muslims, Muslim scriptures, scripture to Muslim. But we will say a few things that I think are very important. Moses is seen in the Bible organizing the leaders so that they would be able to function as a society under law, under divine law. We read in the Bible, or what is called the Old Testament, we read where Moses organized the professional class of people, the skilled people, the educated people, the skilled people, even the musicians. He organized all of them. He called them all together to organize them so that they would have organization, government, a system of government. So that's enough said there to establish that the Jews were given divine help so that they could have established community life. The Christians of Europe and America and now the world, they also were given divine help to establish community life. Their movement we call the Protestant movement that Martin Luther headed up. It was taken up by the pilgrims who came from oppression. They too were oppressed. They too were subjected. They too were denied religious freedom by the Church of England, the great church that dominated Europe. And they were led by Martin Luther, a great figure in religion, to come out of that subjection to that church and form what we now know to be the Protestant faith. Those pilgrims who came to this, to these shores, the new land, the new world, they were the first to come here. They came here so that they could establish their lives, so that they would have freedom of religion in a new land where the church could not deny them, the old church, Church of England, could not deny them their rights. They call that new opportunity, that new chance to establish their life, the new destiny. This is in American history, exactly as I'm giving it to you, the new destiny. They call it the new destiny. So we have an Old Testament, the Jews, and we have a New Testament, the Christians. We have an old destiny, the Jews, and a new destiny, the Christians in America. The Christians in America. So Christians too receive divine help to establish community life. Divine help. They studied what was revealed in the Old Testament and what had come to be the New Testament. And they saw in all of that a direction that they believed God was giving them for a new society on this earth. A society more beautiful, a society more helpful to human beings than the societies of the past, than even Old Jerusalem. That's the language they use for the old destiny, Old Jerusalem. So for their new Jerusalem, they labored, they sacrificed their lives, they struggled, they sacrificed their children, their wealth. Great sacrifice was made so that they could have the new destiny, the new Jerusalem. So we're living in this society now. We're living in this society. And we're enjoying what we call freedom, American freedom, or American democracy. We're enjoying this in this land. And we may tend to credit government with this and not see the religious role in all of this. The founding fathers of this great concept, this great society we call the American society, American democracy, the founding fathers were religious people. They were Christians. Some of them were read in the Quran. They were knowledgeable
of our holy book, the Quran. And it's documented. This is not guesswork I'm giving you. This is documented. This is history. In fact, the leader among them was read in the Quran. Yes. Thomas Jefferson. He didn't only acknowledge it while he lived, he made a point of putting it into print and into history. That he read the Bible and the Jewish scriptures, and he also read the Quran. And he also said, which is documented, and I have documents at home, he also said that he hoped that this land would also attract Muslims, so that Muslims would come here too, to this land. Why would the great designer, architect of the Constitution of these United States, at least he set the framework for it, why would he, with his colleagues, desire Muslims, that Muslim one day join Christians and live with Christians here in this country? Because he saw the similarity for Christianity and Islam in terms of the vision for man in society and a just order. He saw that both these religions were saying the same thing. And he wanted help in this country for the Christians from a people who shared the great vision, Muslims. This is documented. Divine help has made America great. It is divine help that has made America great. When this country now goes too much to the secular extremes, away from faith in God and respect for religious values, in time, the people are disturbed by it. They become very uncomfortable, and they soon have leaders to lead them to put pressure on the government to bring the balance back. We're living in that kind of time right now. That's the time we're living in right now. When the religious people that respect the values, the old established traditional values, begin to ask their leaders, and their leaders respond to them, to do something about this terrible condition in our lives. We have too much secularism and no respect for faith. They respond to that demand on them, and they put pressure on our government to bring the healthy balance back. We are living now in a society that owes its strength and its longevity not to politics, but to religion. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. God is greater. The greatest. Yes. And his word is greater. His word is the greatest. And we look at these great accomplishments of these nations, and we marvel, and we admire men, and forget that they couldn't have accomplished this without God. And if they turn away from God, they will lose it. Yes. Divine help to establish community. Societies that receive divine help. I just pointed to two that we can readily recognize in history. The Jewish movement, the Jewish people struggle for freedom, and the Protestant struggle for freedom. And the church, old Church of England, made a mistake. Yes, it made a mistake. It was formed after centuries of debate
not 100 years, but after centuries of debate, it was finally established what Christianity is. But all during all that time, they couldn't establish what Christianity is. When they finally established it, what do we have? We had Catholicism. The Gnostics, Christians, called Gnostics. Gnostics comes from the word gnos. Gnos is the same as psyche and maybe soul, psyche. So the Gnostics were given that name because they believed that the power of man to achieve was in his psyche. And if you didn't have powerful psyche, noticeable, outstanding psyche, spiritual involvement, spiritual elevation, mysterious powers, if you didn't show any sign that you had that distinction, you were not one in the leadership of that order. The Gnostic order. There's a lot I would like to tell you today about this, but this is not the subject. It's not on the subject. There'll be another subject.
To Allah, I want to share with you some important public service announcements, and if you would like to contribute to what we have shared thus far, from your insights, from what Allah blessed you with, we ask that you press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. So I want to share with you some important public service announcements, and I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waliduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God Allah. We are very elated about the broadcast here on America Muslim 360. And we are grateful to our beloved Imam Omar sharing the basics of Islam here on America Muslim 360. Praise be to Allah. It is aimed at the new converts, but also those of us that have embraced this religion for many years. There's nothing wrong with a refresher course. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, is there anyone that would have any statement so far from what has been shared by our Imam Walter D. Muhammad? The title of this address is Revelation for Divine Help for Establishing Community. Praise be to Allah. The Imam mentioned several communities that we acknowledge received divine help from Almighty God, Allah. Highly praised be He. Allah intervened in the life of the Hebrews, or those that we call Jews. Allah intervened in the life of Hebrews, the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. Praise be to Allah, and the Muslims. We read in the Quran whereby their leader, the Jews, Moses, he was a liberator, and he was proficient at establishing government, Allah says to us in the Quran that Moses took his staff and struck a rock, and 12 strings came from out of the rock, and each tribe knew its watering place. That suggests to me organization, a structured life. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah, an ordered life, a system of government. And from that point to this, the Jews have not looked back. We have to admit that they are a very successful people on this earth. They are. But Almighty God intervened in the life of the Hebrews or Jews. Also, Allah intervened in the life of Christians, whereby they had a desire to establish a community under God. In one of their prayers, it is written, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." On earth, let there be a community on earth that represents the equality of man and justice for man, and open up the many opportunities and avenues for human growth. They called it the New Jerusalem. They called it the new destiny. And based upon that concept, they attempted to establish that, the new destiny, the New Jerusalem. Praise be to Almighty God. The concepts of this nation, the idea of we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, by God, with certain inalienable rights, rights that are inherent, that are innate in the human being, and that no one can violate those rights. And among those rights is the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They drew that concept from out of religious life. I would say it was a pairing of biblical scripture and scripture found in the Quran by those courageous men that looked to scripture to establish a New Jerusalem, a system of government, a place where the rights of man would not be violated. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Matter of fact, that the early visitors to this land, they are called pilgrims. Pilgrims. That was a religious term. No, that is a religious term, and that was a religious movement to lead the oppression of the Church of England, whereby people could worship free. They had the freedom to worship. The Church of England was very domineering, and you must follow what they said religion was, what how your life was to be constructed. And there was a desire among the religious people that they would make, I would call it a hajj to another part of the earth, and pilgrimage to establish the freedom of religion. And in the end, they came to this part of the earth in an attempt to establish that. And one of the first precepts in our Constitution is the freedom of religion, So that's evident that there was a religious movement from out of Christians that wanted to establish a place where there would be, the human being would be free to practice his or her religion. Praise be to Almighty God. Also, in the life of Muslims, Almighty God intervened. Almighty God intervened. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him. It pained his heart. It pained his soul to see the ignorance and barbarity among his people. That troubled him, that troubled his heart, that troubled his mind, that troubled his soul. So much so that he sought refuge away from his people. He sought refuge inside of a cave to ponder the terrible conditions of his people. They are the Arabs were so ignorant and superstitious. They, the strong, persecuted and oppressed the weak. They buried their daughters alive in the sand. They had no value. They did not value female life. Their value was in male life, and that was a selfish, because the male would bring about greater profit to them. The more sons you have, the more workers you have. So they were so ignorant that they buried their daughters alive, not kill the daughter and then bury the daughter. They buried the daughters alive in the sand. That shows how far off they were from human life. They buried their daughters in the sand. And they also ate what is called carrion. Carrion. Dead meat. What does dead meat mean? You know, like if you are traveling across the highway and you see an animal that was hit by a truck and is laying on the side of the road dead. You don't know how long it has lain there. And they would stop and pick up that dead animal, prepare him and eat him. They ate roadkill. That's what we commonly call roadkill. They ate carrion. They ate dead meat. They worshipped over 300 idols as gods. And as a consequence of Allah intervening in the life of the Arabs through our beloved Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, God intervened in the life of humanity inadvertently. As a consequence of Allah intervening in the life of the Arabs, God intervened in the life of humanity worldwide. For the Arabs were the steepest, the deepest in ignorance But the whole world was under what historians called the Dark Ages, whereby rational thought was no longer used, science was neglected, and superstition was the prevailing governing force for human beings. They took giant leaps back into barbarity, into ignorance. But as a consequence of Allah intervening in the life of the Arabs, Allah intervened in the life of humanity. He intervened in the life of humanity worldwide. Worldwide. The religion, al-Islam, which we call the life that Almighty God offered to the Arabs and others, that began the Age of Enlightenment. It revived the sciences. It revived the pattern of science. Allah says to us in the Quran, He mentions many things. He says, have you not observed the bird in the air? What holds him up? There are many things in creation that Almighty God asks us, have we stopped and pondered? Have we observed these things? And through that is the first step toward establishing science and knowledge. Science and knowledge, the Age of Enlightenment. It revived the sciences. There are three steps in scientific principles. And the first step is observation, to observe a thing, to observe it. And through that observation, you will see how it functions. That is data coming from what you have observed. That is information. And from that data, it's the utilization, praise be to Allah, of that data to improve on a pattern of life, a natural growth pattern observed in the creation. And it is al-Islam, it is Almighty God, Allah, that intervened in the life of the Arab and the life of the whole world, and reintroduced intelligent thought, that reintroduced reasoning, that reintroduced logical conclusions. And as a consequence, we see that we are an educated public now. We are enjoying the fruits brought out of this physical creation that we have now. The world is no longer under darkness. Some people may be. Some individuals may be. The world is enlightened now. We utilize science, physics, engineering, geography, astronomy. We utilize science, or medical science, to improve our lives. So God intervened in the life of the Jew, in the life of the Christians, and definitely in the life of Muslims. Praise be to Allah. So I'll stop right there. Is there anyone that would have any statement that they would like to share? Just press one on your phone. I will open up your mic. Okay. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we return back to divine help for establishing community. May we have pen and paper in hand and write down notes, please, and be willing to share.
Yes. So these people made a big mistake. They were innocent. They thought they were right. They thought that the message of the gospel, or the
Injil, we know the proper name for Muslim, the name of the gospel that Jesus brought. It's called Injil. Injil. We know that the direction that God gave them through Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, they missed it. So I wonder if Muslim scholars will ever pick up this interest and study what is revealed in the Quran regarding this big happening in history. You think the Quran left out that? You think Allah revealed something to Muhammad and left out this big issue? No, he did not. This issue is addressed in the Quran. And the Christians are called the Dalin. The Dalin. Quranic Arabic term meaning that they missed the mark. They missed what they were after. They were after going, they were after reaching something, and they missed it. Dalla means to miss something. Like if I want to pitch my pen to this brother here wearing this beautiful headpiece, like a hat, Fez Morocco. Moors and Fez Morocco. I know you wouldn't wear that cap without some knowledge of that. Yes. Great history of Africans on the continent of Africa. Yes. Yes. If I would pitch my pen to him and it would go over there somewhere, some guy get my aim, that's what the ball does when I try to throw it to my son. I used to get throw straight. Well, I haven't been practicing, so I throw something and throw it. He has to try to run over and catch it, you know. So if I would do it, I would miss what I aim for. I'm aiming to pitch it to his hand, and it hits over there in the seat. I miss what I was aiming for. That's called Dalla. Dalla, you see? So Dalin is the name for many who missed. They're called the Dalin. Many Gnostics who were after trying to see the aim in Christianity. They missed it. And they thought that they were to have a theocracy. And that the only the ones that they thought had divine spark, this great psyche, would be accepted in that leadership. So this is the beginning of the Dalin. You see? This is the beginning of the Dalin, the Gnostic order. It has a great, great place in Islam. The revelation regarding this order has a great place in Islam. I've hit upon it, I've said something regarding it in talks I've given in the past. One day, inshallah, I'll address it head on one day. Okay. Inshallah, I said. Yes. So we know societies receive divine help. Those societies receive divine help but misinterpret it. Now, when you read of the mission that Allah gave, God Almighty gave, the prophet Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, when you read of it, you see that, yes, order of responsible helpers. It's called just that, helpers. Jesus said, who will be helpers in the Quran? Jesus said, who will be helpers with me? And some of the people that he had attracted to himself, they were convinced that he was a man of God. They responded. They say, we are your helpers for God, for God's sake. We are your helpers for God's sake. It means we are your helpers to in the path that will take us to God. We are your helpers. We will join you in this struggle that you have taken up, that we hope will lead us to God. Lead us to God? What is it? What do you mean? Lead us to God? Oh, so that's why they went off. They thought that it was a path literally to God, literally. So the Gnostics went up in the sky, went up in heaven,
to find God and lost the mark, missed the mark, Dalla. That's what happened. But God let there be inspired among them in time, under great suffering. God always comes to people. He won't let us suffer too much. We will never suffer beyond our capacity to endure it. And that's what Allah says. He does not cause any soul to suffer beyond its capacity to endure it. Yes. So you that means the Christians too. Aren't they souls too? He said any soul. So Allah let there come to the Christian community that was oppressed, subjected, persecuted, cruelly treated, because they wanted what they thought was the better understanding in Christianity, the Protestant under Martin Luther. So God knew that man was there, so he gave him helpers from his angels. And from men, he gave him helpers so that he would have help from God, divine help, to see his way out of the darkness of that church that they were under, to come into the light of freedom. Not so much the light of the whole light of revelation. This is just one particular movement. This is not a movement of the whole religion. This is a movement of people who want freedom. This is a freedom movement we're talking about. What am I saying now? What am I alluding to now? I don't think the Protestants have the best understanding of Christianity, but they most certainly have the best understanding of freedom, freedom of religion. They certainly have the best understanding of freedom of religion. And that's why the old church has had to accept that understanding from the Protestants. Now both Protestant and Catholics accept that we should have religious freedom. Help, divine help to communities. Most of us understand religion as help from God to our souls. God giving us help for our souls. The help is coming to my soul from God. We understand this help that's coming to God as help for my personal life, help for my individual life. And as much as I am free as a person to rule in my own house or to have my way in my own family, then I should have this help from God in my family. So we see it to the person and we see it to the family. But when we go outdoors in the public, we don't see it that way. And this is the way the great deceiver planned for the world to see it. That God is a personal God. That is to reduce the effect of the great religion to the effect of idolatry, to the effect of idol worship, where the nations that advocated or gave complete freedom to people to have idol worship allowed them to have it as a personal religion. So there were the national deities for the government that all of them were to recognize. But if anybody was displeased or didn't like a particular governmental deity or national god, I'm G-O-D now, not protector, the G-O-D, or national divine figure, they could have their household god. They could have their household deity that they loved best or thought was dearest to them and responsible for their life. They could have that deity. The government wouldn't forbid that.
as it was personal. They couldn't impose their deity upon the state. Their personal deity couldn't be imposed upon the state. The state decided what deities the public would have as official deities of the state. But you were not obligated to, they wouldn't punish you if you didn't worship Zeus, as long as you worshiped up Duke or whoever you chose to. And you made it your personal business and not the state business, you could do it. So the great deceiver, the Satan himself, he has interfered with the communication of truth to the people. And he has brought even the modern world to see religion as a personal matter. It is a personal matter. It is firstly a personal matter. But that's not where it's to stop. God intends that the mankind, the whole population of the world, come back to him where everything started. Adam, the first man, started because of God creating him.
Right.
And in time, God wants all men, all the children of Adam, have to come back to God,
right,
under God.
Right.
So that's bigger than a personal matter. That's a matter for mankind.
Right.
That's a matter for the nations.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah, I pause at this time to see if anyone would have any statements concerning what we have shared thus far. We're at a very important part of this lecture. The idea of a personal God, we've heard it, you know, we can bear witness to that. The idea of I'm saved. Are you saved? You aren't saved unless you worship the God that I worship. Are you saved? I'm not concerned about this world. They can have the whole world. Just give me my personal God. I'm not concerned about society and its condition. My soul is saved. I'm on my way to another world. I divorce myself from this world, and I give all of my attention to saving my personal soul, regardless to what happens in the society in which I live. I am divorced from that. I have my personal God. I have heard people in conversation say, well, see, yeah, you know, my God, he does such and such a thing. I've heard people say that, use that in language. Well, a God that I serve, he's such and such a, such a thing. So we're living in that type of mindset where, yes, you have the freedom for your personal God, but that should have no effect on the society and the community in which we all live. That shouldn't correct ills that we see in the community. I'm not concerned about the ills. I don't hear none of that. I'm concerned about saving my soul. And I am saved because of my faith. We're living in a time like, we're living in a time whereby there are churches, mosques, and synagogues on almost every corner. There are sometimes two and three churches in one block. We're living in a time whereby whole large stadiums are filled with people that come to hear a message from a celebrated preacher. And the whole idea that is pushed is you saving your soul. We hear nothing about the condition of the community, the condition of the environment in which we all share. But everyone has their personal God and their personal interest just to save my soul. I invite you to press one on your phone and let's talk about it. Okay. Erico 914-297. Welcome to the study sessions of the Addresses of Imam Al-Fadim Muhammad. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. I really appreciate the invitation. And Brother Yahya, Mount Vernon, how are you, my brother?
I'm fine. Wa alaikum assalam. Yahya.
I don't know about fine, but you do look good, though. my own little spoof on that, Brother Mamdou. Excuse me, civil play. Please forgive me. But really enjoying the program as I have in the last several weeks, you know, because it seemed the topic is so expansive, you know. And I really appreciate it, you know, going over and over, you know, because it's the in-depthness of it. This is volumes worth, let's face it, you know. but that's a very interesting point that you were just reflecting on the personal God, you know. And if I didn't give you the greetings, assalamu alaikum. You know.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah, most merciful, most gracious brother. For us, as I see it, in my own terminology, you know, obviously based off, you know, Wallace's stats here, you know, it's all in the language, you know, and I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you or said it on the air before this, you know. Last several years I've been listening, but it's interesting. A few years back, I answered the phone and I said hello, right? I said hello, right? And then I don't know, lots of sense inspiration to me. It came out like this. Excuse my expression. I said, who the hell don't know hell is low, right? Then I thought of it. I said, well, now, you know, well, Jesus, you know, she has to follow the law. And I said, well, what's the opposite of hell low? So the opposite of hell would be heaven. And then the opposite of low would be what? High, right? So I started answering the phone, heaven high. You know, just throwing it out there, you know. And anyway, it was an interesting response that I got. But the point that I wanted to make with that, and I hope I don't forget it, is in terms of it's in the language, right? Like, this is, for example, just like some new stuff. So you know how you said, you know, people said, you know, they give the greeting, and they said, God bless you, right? So when I'm conversing with a person or something like that, and, you know, it's a natural flow. It's nothing that I make myself do. You know? And I say, God bless us, right? And yeah, I might be the first one to say it or the second one to say it or whatever in the course of the conversation or whatever. But it's interesting. It's like, it's more like God bless you. And that's basically where it starts, not where it stays, personal. Now, instead of, you know, the bigger picture, right, which would be God bless us, you know what I mean? And it's an interesting response I got, you know, from just, you know, just, but, you know, not to go into that because that's not necessary, whatever. But anyway, back to the concept and, like, you know, the prophet, peace be upon me, he said, like, the subtleness of the shaitan is like a black ant on a black rock in the middle of the night. You ain't seeing that, okay? You might miss that with infrared. But if Allah don't bless you to see, you're not seeing that. You know what I mean? So we need Allah's help to see that, how subtle it is. Just like I was mentioning the thing with the phone, how subtle it is. You got half the world answer the phone, hello. And who the heck don't know hell is low? You know what I mean? But it's in the language. So what I see, what we do, or what we could, where we come in at in terms of, as I see it, I think it's, you know, man explained, that's how I see it. He says that with the Satan, that he studied God's plan and then he put it backwards. So if we want to correct some of the ills or address some of the ills in society in terms of the thinking, you know, the perception that's embedded, the wrong perception, incorrect perception that's embedded in society, it's in, not only in the language that's used, it's in the scriptural language. That's why it also, the Quran was sent as a, not just a confirmation, but a continuation and also a correction. You know, I mean, that's most important. So what I'm saying that we I mean, how I see it, it's not imperative. I mean, all the words that you could use in terms of bringing about its importance of getting Imam's language into our society, into our community life, into our family life first, obviously, you know, into our life personally first, and then, you know, and have that expansion concept there. You know what I mean? Because I think that's the thing, not so much missing, but that's the thing that's not being exploited enough or perceived enough or enacted upon enough, you know, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
You know, yeah. I appreciate you, though, Akina. You know, yeah, and I'll tune in. And I'm listening to your response.
Yes, sir. In connection to what you are saying, the greetings of hello. Hello. Whoever constructed that, whoever constructed this language that we use, they are not dumb. They are very, very wise, smart. And they leave influences in the language that will reach you unconsciously. Unconsciously. That hello. You're greeting someone, and the first thing that you say to them have hell in it.
Amazing, isn't it?
As Muslims, we are grateful. We follow our beloved prophet and also Isa ibn Maryam, the son of Mary. And we pray the prayers and the peace of upon all of God's messengers. His greeting was peace. Peace. We say assalamu alaikum. That kum. Assalamu alaikum. That obligates the giver of that greeting as much as it obligates the receptor, the person that receives that greeting, is to keep the peace on both parties, see? Both parties.
Neutral.
Assalamu alaikum. Our greeting is peace. Mm-hmm. And it obligates me as well as you when I say that to you.
Okay.
I'm obligated to keep the peace as well as you are too. And that spreads universally. That is a universal greeting, you know. So, yes, you are not unique in your observation of the word hello. I have expressed what you have expressed. I have expressed to family and friends, you know, that hello is not a good greeting. But so praise be to Allah. It's in the language. You are so correct, my brother. Very, very subtle. It is in the language. Thank you, Yusuf.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. And it was one other point I wanted to close with, but it's escaping me right now. So perhaps I tune back in before the program ends and stuff. And I just listen. I don't mind saying. I'm not, like, I love saying it because it's the truth within my heart. I love this class. Why wouldn't I? I mean, Wallace
praise
is the teacher. Why wouldn't I love it?
Praise
why wouldn't I love this class? Brother, I'm going
to
tell you something. I mentioned before, like, you know, Allah chooses Muslims, right? And then Allah also chooses what I call Wallace's people, okay?
Praise be to Allah. We have another caller on the line.
A lot to be thankful for, and to whom much is given, much is required. Assalamu alaikum. I love you, brother. Stay healthy, brother. Stay healthy.
I love you also.
All right.
Yeah,
a lot of work to do, brother. Assalamu alaikum. Love you.
Wa alaikum assalam. Okay, we have error code 810399. Assalamu alaikum. Is this the Pizza Hadith?
It is, dear Abubi ma'am. Assalamu alaikum to you and to the AM 360 family. Yes, this is the Preacher Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan. Alhamdulillah. You know, I'm just listening at the brother. I almost start to take the one off because I'm like, okay, so he's right on the same path that I am. But just to expound a little bit more, you know, and especially our Christian brothers and sisters, when they say, yes, but first of all, they got the thing all wrong anyway. They want to claim Jesus is God and everything. But, you know, with that thinking that they have, like the brother was saying, it's all in the language. But with that thinking that they have, they're like, well, you know, Jesus died for us, and, you know, we basically sin free, you know. So, yes. So God has favored me, and he is my personal savior, you know. And they never stop to think that perhaps what they are saying to someone else may be standing there feeling sort of like, oh, well, they're doing all the right things in their life, and God has favored them over me, you know, or over anyone else because they all of that, you know what I'm saying? So they do, when they say, yes, he's my personal savior. He's my, talking about God. He's my personal. He's my personal Lord. I'm, when they say, I'm highly favored, you know, and it's like,
yes.
And you just leave everybody else out. You know, it's all on you because you're doing all the right things in your life, all the right concepts you have. And so it's just about you, and God is only looking at you. And that's just, and they're not thinking about how maybe the other person is feeling with them standing there talking to them like that, you know. So like the, you know, just like the brother was saying, as Muslims, we know it's in the language because we've been taught that by Mawardi Din Muhammad about having the right words. Words make the people, you know. And sometimes you don't pay attention of the impact that those words will have when you're standing there like you're boasting all about yourself, when God is the God of all of the world and of all of the people.
Yes, ma'am.
To include
everyone.
Yes, God is good to us. Yes, he is good to us all. As one, and he's good to us all as the individual of the prayer that we make to him. Yes, that's true. But we should be very mindful to let everyone be included when we are out talking about the blessings that God is putting upon our perhaps individual lives at that time. I want to thank you so kindly, Brother Imam. And just like the brother said before me, I really do appreciate this program. I try to get here every Saturday morning that I know that it's coming on because I know even if I don't say anything, I'm going to gain a lot of insight that I didn't have because I'm listening to the program. Thank you so kindly, Brother Imam. Keep up the great work. That's what I'm going to
love. Yes, ma'am. But thank you, the preacher, and we definitely appreciate your program that is coming on this evening. Focus on El Islam. If you would share the time of that broadcast, everyone would greatly appreciate that.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, everyone, it is El Islam and Focus coming on this evening, every Saturday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And right now we are discussing, and this is just what it says, Islam in Focus, El Islam in Focus. Because even though a lot of us being seasoned, as I always say, we've been here for a while, we may already know the information, but we have a responsibility to make sure that the Misha had us to come in and get the information as well. So we focus on Islamic information and a star view of the program is learning the 99 known attributes names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please join us 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time right here on AM 360. Thank you so kindly, Brother Imam.
Thank you, Deep, for your valued work. Thank you, my sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Praise to Allah. We have another caller on the line, Erico 747-283. Welcome to the study session of the addresses of Imam Wahid Muhammad. Please state your name and where you're calling from, if you would, please.
Yes, this is Farida calling from California. Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to comment on, like, when a person say that God is my personal savior, and sometimes I have even said that, you know, I just feel so close to Allah, and it doesn't mean that, like, I'm the only one, I'm the big one, but, like, when you have experiences, like, for instance, there was this Japanese restaurant that I used to frequent when I would go into the movie that was, like, about a half a block away, and I found that those, the cooks, they were, you know, laughing, like one would come in and then look at me and laugh and then bring in another one and they would both be laughing. And then I said, you know what? I said, forget about it. I don't want it, you know. And then I went into the movie theater. After the movie was over, I came out and saw everybody, like all the staff looked like deers in the headlights. You know what I mean? With their eyes. And I'm like, what happened? And they was like, look. And I looked across the street, and a tornado had came. They said a tornado had just come, and it went from one area to the, I mean, you could see where all the trees were flattened, you know, curling around. And so I walked, and then I drove past that restaurant again, and I'm like, oh, my God, it tore up the restaurant. So later on, another day, I said, so did the tornado tear up your place? 'Cause, you know, and they said, well, it tore up the kitchen. And like, when you get things like that, I mean, there's some other issues that I had with that particular restaurant, which told me that I should have stopped before I went that last time. But just to say that, you know, when people do you wrong, and then because there are other issues that I'm not mentioning that, you know, but when people do you wrong, and these cooks did, then, you know, and it's like Allah came along, and in my eyesight, you know, let me know that he had my back. You know what I mean? When things like that happen, there are other instances with the weather that happen to protect me with other areas. So in that sense, I mean, everybody had, like, not just one person have that. Everybody has that in their life where God just, you know, Allah just, you know, just shows himself, just shows that, listen, I am with you or whatever. I'm bringing you a step farther in your life or this or that. Everyone has those experiences. So
yes,
it's not really just to say that, oh, you know, I'm the big narcissist. Oh, it's me. I'm the you know, the Christ or whatever you want to call it. Because everybody has those experiences. And in that way,
you know,
I understand what people mean when they say
Farida?
That. Yes?
Yes, ma'am. In Islam and as Muslims, Almighty God, he is my personal. My personal God. Allah says that he is closer to the individual than his own jugular vein, That is the main vein that carries blood from the heart to our brains. He's closer to you than that. And that he hovers. He hovers inside of you between that which you love most. Now, yes, he is my personal God. He is with me. But Allah adds more to that. I can't just stay there in that type of thinking. There is an addition that God applies to that. He says, the best of you are those who are beneficial to society. See how Allah expands that? So I don't get all wrapped up in myself. I don't take that self-righteous, that's everybody wrong but me, that self-righteousness. But yes, God is with every last one of us right now. Individually.
Absolutely.
Individually. He is with us. And he is just as matter of fact, you know, some of us, we talk to God, and we may not use flowery language. We may not recite an ayah from the Quran. We may just have a regular talk. You know, oh God, now you know, I got to get past this. This is, you know, it's weighing heavily on me. Oh God, help me. He hears, matter of fact, when you form that thought, he hears the thought before you even enunciate the words.
That's right.
But at the same time, and he gives that to everyone, everybody, every human soul that comes into existence, God is with that soul. But there was a thinking among the early Christians, the Gnostics. The Gnostics were those that believed you had to have a special kind of a super connection with God before you were accepted in their circles and leadership. So much so that they divorced themselves from the world. We hear of monks. We hear of priests. We hear of nuns that set up monasteries out in the wilderness that took a vow of silence, not even speak to one another. They divorced themselves from the social responsibility that comes along with our religious life. The Gnostics. They become hermits. There's a special hermit that is mentioned, the hermit of Hermes. They go and live away because they believe that the world is contaminated and it would pollute their pure righteousness. I divorce myself. I don't want no involvement. It's just me and God. That was a pattern of thinking among some of the earlier Christians, the Gnostics, the Psyche, those that only rely upon their intellect, the Psyche, and their intellect was so-called reflective of their soul, their pure soul. So they missed the mark. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have to get involved in this world. You have to have a concern for others. See? So and then you are so correct that yes, people do say, my God, my personal God. But what do they mean? What do they mean when they use that type of language? What do they mean? What is their intent? Is it to alienate? or is it inclusion? Is it the liberating language of inclusion and not exclusion? So the early Christians, they are the darling. They missed the mark. They missed that part where Christ said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They missed that. They missed the mark. From out of that type of thinking came priests that feel, I don't need a wife. I don't need women. I don't need a wife and children. I don't need to participate because my soul is so pure, I don't want to contaminate with this world. This world is not contaminated. Allah created it, and it is good, you know. So they missed the mark, but praise be to Allah. Men like Martin Luther, he did not accept the idea that the Pope was infallible, that he represented God on the earth. And what he said must become your way of, you didn't have the freedom of thought to even think. So he started the Protestant means protest. We want human freedom. We want freedom of consciousness. We want freedom of thought. Allah says to us in the Quran, I am as my faithful servants see me. See? So praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. So yes, Allah is personal to us, but that's not good enough. We cannot just have taqwa. Taqwa is God consciousness, a reverential special attention to Almighty God. That is not good enough alone. The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he said to the believers after they had completed their Hajj, after they had completed the ceremonial rituals at the Kaaba in Mecca, he said, from this day forward, it is taqwa and jihadu. Taqwa means God consciousness. But jihadu means struggle. Struggle. I can't just rest in my jihadu, in my taqwa, and not address the ills and problems in the society in which I live.
Absolutely. That was actually my point that I was making week because when I try to consider, I don't want to say save, but I want to say make, you know, try to help our lives be better, then there are Muslims who may say, or people who may say, well, all you got to do is like read your Bible, read your Holy Quran, and pray and you know, just follow that, you know, that tunnel, but don't be so concerned. Don't concern your mind with what else is going on in the world. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I can walk and chew gum at the same time. And I think
I
that a part of
that.
Me going.
Yes,
excuse me.
Yeah,
I would think that when I go back to Allah, he's going to ask me or tell me that, listen, I gave you such and such of this knowledge or opened your mind to such and such of that. What did you do with it to help other people? What did you do? All you did was decided to be selfish and just keep everything closed. You don't want to disturb your reading or your anything. You just want everything to be kumbaya for yourself while you are watching, having the more of the knowledge that I gave to you, and you're not sharing it. You're just, you know. So that was just, you know, the point that I was making.
Yes, ma'am. You know, when we read and we pray and we live the Islamic life, you're in the gym. That is calisthenics. That is training. That is training. But if all you do is train and you never enter the game, then your training is for naught. It doesn't amount to anything. So we are given these disciplines and this structured way of life that strengthens us and readies us to get in the game, get in this society in which we live. Yes, ma'am. So we have another caller on the line, and I like how you say we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Thank you for
Allah Akbar.
Praise be to Allah. Okay, we have another caller on the line, 914-297. Welcome to the study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Wafidin Muhammad.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum, Aki. It's Brother Yaki again. The point that I wanted to mention before I got off the last time, that it came back to me. But before I go to it, I'd just like to interject this with one of the points you were just making with Sister, you know. And that's one of my lines, chew bubblegum and walk, you know. But the fact that that You see when they, in other words, when the priests, you know, if I could put it that, you know, or when the Gnostics, when they went off, you know, when they denounced and divorced themselves from the world, right, and then, you know, they don't take a woman, they don't do this, they don't do that, whatever. And you see what happens when you go against what Allah says is supposed to be done naturally, right? You see all the problem they have with those priests and stuff like that? You know, that's the major problem, you know. You know,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. You know, a movie that came out, I don't know if you ever saw it, I think it was called Spotlight. Very interesting movie that highlighted the problem that they had with the priests, with the, you know, with the little boys, young men and stuff like that, and, you know, homosexuality really within that, you know, that sphere of thought, so to speak. You know what I mean? It was a major, major problem. I mean, they had to pay out so much money, they had to close certain, you know, places down behind that just to meet the money that it took to settle the suits or whatever, you know what I mean? So,
yes,
the thing I wanted to mention before I get off is that it was interesting when the imam mentioned about it took centuries for them to come up with a conclusive, you know, overall perspective, you know, of this the presentation what Christianity is. It wasn't like how within 23 short years or whatever what was established or whatever, like Al-Islam. I thought that was a very interesting point, you know. I had no idea it took that long for them I knew it was automatic consensus, per se, but I didn't realize that span of time had taken place, you know, almost maybe 150, 120 years almost or whatever, you know. I thought it was a very interesting point, but I'll get back to, whenever you get back to the program, I'm listening. All right, thank you very much.
Okay,
have a good day.
Yeah, praise be to Allah. We are turning back to the address right now at this time. I would ask everyone if you would look up the Nicene Council. There was a train of thought, Arian, that did not agree with the conclusions of the Nicene Council. Read up on him. But anyway, they came up with they missed the mark. They missed the mark. They were the Dalin. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we return back to divine help. to establish unity. May we all benefit from the hearing.
So we've been cheated.
The religious people of the world, we've been cheated. And Satan has influenced our societies and our leaders and have blinded them, caused them to miss the mark. And they have shortchanged us. They have given us religious freedom that is not religious freedom at all. It's religious slavery. When religious freedom really comes, then the government is going to respect religion as a bigger matter than politics. And I'm a witness here today with you on this earth, not just in this little place. I'm a witness here with you today on this earth that today is the time of religion. Today is the time of the great triumph, the great victory of the light that God gives, the word that God gives over the light of the world and over the language of the world and over the ideologies of the world. The great message of religion is here and now is going to be seen victorious.
Right.
Communism went its way. And it claimed or bragged that it was going to give man the ideal society. The ideal society. Democracy in America went its way. And it claimed that it was going to give man the ideal society. The great society. The secular world continued to grow. America's values went down. America almost lost its life just a few decades or so behind us. America was in so much moral trouble, so much spiritual trouble, and we didn't see any hope in the leadership.
Right.
Almost lost its life. Russia collapsed. Communist world collapsed. And now this is the day of religion.
Right.
The day of religion is here.
Right.
That's God's way. When, not that these nations are Satan, but Satan influenced these nations. I'm not saying the communist world was a Satan. No, I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that democracy gone astray from the values of religion and the way of God is a Satan. No, I'm not saying that. Those are straying children. But their direction that they took was influenced by the Satan, the great Satan. Yes. And now he has failed. Satan has failed. Allahu Akbar. God is greater. Now, don't think that Satan is like us. When we have a big loss like that, we give it up. Idolatry had its day. It failed the hope of mankind. Yes. The worship of the one God over heavens and earth, who's not material or can't be an idol in our hands, succeeded. And all the people of the world came under the rule of the word of God. Whether you know it or not, I don't have enough time to explain all this to you, to your complete satisfaction, because you are some of you are doubting Thomases. You rather disbelieve than to believe. So you know the doctor can't help somebody that don't want medicine. So I can't stay here with you until you see the light. But I'm telling you the truth. You should take my word. You should take my word because I've proven worthy of your trust. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yes, and God is my witness. Thank you. Yes? Now, God comes with the final revelation, the Quran, and he reveals it to a man who are among the idol worshippers. Judaism and Christianity had not yet brought civilization to that land where the prophet was. God's help came to them in their particular circumstances. Why? Because the great Satan was conspiring against the Arabs, holding back the promise of God through Abraham to the children of Abraham's son Ishmael, or Ismail in the Quran. A conspirator among the Jewish people was working against them, having the light come to them and their cousins, according to their own words. Their Semitic cousins, Arabs and Jews. But the bigger brother, the more fortunate brother, the elder among them, in the faith, was keeping the younger from getting the light, seeing the light, conspiring against them, holding them back for the day of victory, great victory for the Jewish community. I'm not blaming the Jewish community for this. I'm saying an element among them did this. Holding back the Arab, keeping them in paganism and idolatry, until the great day comes for Jewish conquest, for Jewish victory, and the need for them to bring in their Arab cousins. Yes, sir. They had to plan, these conspirators, not the innocent Jews, the guilty ones, the conspirators working with the Satan. Yes. They knew the plan of God, but they wanted to hold back.
Right.
So that their victory would be bigger. This is in scripture too. And someday inshallah, we will discuss this as a topic. The scriptures that they have says that though Esau was treated unfairly by his brother Jacob, one day Esau would also get his blessings that God intended for him. And without going as clearly to it as the language goes to Jacob and Esau, the problem of Jacob and Esau, it also goes to the language of Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac, the figure of the Jewish people. Ishmael, the prophet among the, from the Arab people, who with his father, Ibrahim in Islamic terminology, built the Kaaba, the house that we all turn to as Muslims now, for unity and worship, unity and prayer, etc., for the unity of mankind.
Yes.
It is said that rivers will run in the land of the Arabians. This is Bible. And Ishmael would one day get his blessings. Our Prophet Muhammad is a descendant of the Prophet Ishmael or Ismail. He's a descendant of that prophet. From the wife of the great prophet Ibrahim, called Hagar. Now, isn't it strange, or I would say at least noteworthy, that in this country, the racist-minded, superior-minded whites of the Christian, of some of the Christian denominations, called us Hagar's children? They did. They called us Hagar's children, blacks, in this country, out of doors, out of the house that God wanted us in, out of doors. They called us Hagar's children. Yes. Finally, God chose to give his guidance to a people called Arabs who were denied and cut off. Lost, denied, cut off.
Yes, sir.
But not just for the Arabs. And when he gave it to the Jewish prophets, it was not just for the Jews. If it was just for the Jews, why is all their prophets now our prophets? That's to say and make it clear beyond a shadow of doubt in the religion that we believe in, that in our religion, these are not prophets just for the Jews. They are prophets for mankind. Man, oh man, I'm telling you, this is a great day. Yes. So the guidance come to one of them and not one of them who was seen as a person devoted to religion. Muhammad was devoted to business before he was called by God. Oh, isn't that strange that God would call a man that was devoted to business? God called Moses, and he was devoted to keeping the house of Pharaoh.
Right.
That's a little worse, I think, huh? Yes. Moses didn't know where his place in this world. He was a servant of the house of Pharaoh.
But he was.
Yes. And it took one of his own fellow countrymen to tell him, Moses, you in the wrong place. God is going to choose you to be our deliverer.
Right.
He didn't know it. He ignored that person. But finally God reached him. And he knew
right.
his place on this earth.
Right.
And finally God reached one of the elves in darkness, in the time of darkness, gross darkness. And chose him to be his messenger. A mercy to all the world.
Right.
Oh, but we're too black to identify him with him, Brother Imam, like the Arabs. Oh, he's too black for us whites to identify with him. Brother Imam, he's the son of Hagar, an African woman, through his ancestor, Ishmael. The white may say that, and the black may say that. But God on the day of judgment will say, you knew he had black and white blood in him, didn't you? without you even understanding religion. You had no excuse.
No, not at all.
He was of the black and of the white. Of the white through Abraham and of the black through Ishmael. Through Hagar and Ishmael. The wife of Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael, her son, peace be upon them.
Hold on. The tape is still running. It will resume. I'm going to see if I can. There we go.
The white may say that, and the black may say that. But God on the day of judgment will say, you knew he had black and white blood in him, didn't you? Without you even understanding religion, you had no excuse.
No, not at all.
He was of the black and of the white. Of the white through Abraham and of the black through Ishmael. Through Hagar and Ishmael. The wife of Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael, her son, peace be upon them. There'll be no place to run, no place to hide.
Right.
Praise be to Allah. Now, the message comes to Muhammad, and it plays down the importance of an Arab in the message. It plays up the importance of the language of the Arab and plays down the importance of an Arab person. And the reason for the Arab and Arab language is given that this language is powerful in expression. That is a language that is powerful in expression. And God chose him an Arab with the tongue of an Arab. That means speaking Arabic. And the advantage there is that the language is powerful for communicating the word of God. The language itself is powerful for communicating the word of God. And it's emphasized over and over again that this is a message in Arabic. A Quran in pure Arabic. Pure classical Arabic. That's emphasized. Why? Because God gave the message clearly to his prophets, all of them. He didn't give any of them confusion. He gave all of them clear message.
That's right.
But in time, the people's language became weak. Their language became adulterated. Their language became so adulterated until the language was not pure enough to communicate a pure message. And though the Arabs had themselves lost the way of Abraham, and gone into idolatry and had become completely engulfed by darkness, their language was yet a language that had not been influenced by cultural changes, by industrial innovations. Our language is constantly undergoing change because of industry affecting your language. Commercial life affecting the language. Cultural changes affecting the language. And we don't have a guard over the language, a protecting a group assigned over the language to keep the language from being taken out of its purity for the sake of holding it for God. Latin used to serve that purpose. Latin, for the Catholics, it was a language to serve that purpose, a language that they would not let be corrupt or changed by the world, by the languages of the world, by the new ideas and the new expressions of the world. But Latin became a dead language for the world.
Right.
It's called a dead language. So Latin in this world is dead. But Latin in Catholicism is alive.
Right.
Arabic in the world is dead. But Arabic in the Quran is alive. The Quran came to preserve the purity of Arabic. You can't go to Egypt in the streets of Egypt and find the purity of Arabic. You can't go to the colloquial, the language of the man, the common people in the streets in Arabia, in Mecca, and find the purity of Arabic. You can't go to any Arabic-speaking land and talk to the people, their daily language, their living language for their nation, and get the purity of Arabic. No. You have to read the Quran to get the purity of Arabic. But in Muslim society, the purity language, the Quran, is so highly respected. The language of the Quran is so highly regarded and valued and appreciated that they require their formal state messages to conform as much as possible to the requirements for excellent speech that is established in the Quran. It is Quran now preserving high-class language for the nations called Islamic nations. Yes, it's the Quranic Arabic that's serving that role to keep the language high. They call it Fusha. Fusha. That's what they call it. Fusha. But what is it really? It's the man of the purity of Quranic language on the high level expressions of language. High level expression of language. So you read newspapers. And if you don't read the newspaper, don't read a speech in there by a figure on a high level in the society, you still will get adulterated language, impure language. Divine help for establishing community. Yes, God gives us help for establishing our individual personal life, certainly, and he will always give us that help. But the bigger help is the help that he gives us for establishing our lives in community. So that our individual life and personal life will have a home in the society, in the world eventually. Yes, this is the way of God. So God gives us divine help to establish the forms that he created. God created me, an individual person, human being, an individual human being. God created me, so a personal individual. And God has given me a form, a life form, a soul, to register what God wants for me and to register what God does not want for me. He's given me a soul to do that. Then he gives me help for this soul. He comes and gives divine help for my soul, so that I will have the life that he wants me to have
right
on this earth. But the world is in the way. The world won't accommodate it.
So then God comes with the second portion of his mercy. And he gives the help for the society to help us establish the society, the community, the public life. He gave it to Moses. And he says, and he will raise up among your brethren a man like unto Moses. So here's the connection for Moses and Muhammad. Both of them were missioned by God to establish community life. Moses went up and received the law from God, and he brought it down to the people. So here is law coming to order a community, a society, a nation, on earth. And Muhammad went up. God took Muhammad up and brought him down. And it was only after he took him up and brought him down that he established, applied the light, the law, the wisdom in Medina and ordered a Muslim society on this earth. A man like Moses, peace be upon the prophets.
Okay. We pause at this time for some important public service announcements. And if any of you have any statements that you would like to make concerning this presentation that Imam Muhammad is giving, Rahim al-Alehi, on divine help to establish community life, I ask that you press 1 on your phone and share with others in this study group your insights, what Allah has blessed you with from out of this wonderful address. I ask you now, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preeta Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
What is American Muslim 360, you ask? It's hard hitting.
You don't have any peace, and our people have been tricked. And if you got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth, wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated, huh? We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change, it has changed. Grown men, I don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
The federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year, or roughly 14% of the federal budget, on doing business in the private sector with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses. businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a silent killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Alcor Ann.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of times to pray, and it is during this time in your reading of Quran that it will be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people. And it's all about the Deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in all of America.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
And we are back. Praise be to Allah. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this Monday as we read, this Saturday, as we review an address of Imam Muhammad, which is entitled Revelation for Divine Help. Praise be to Allah. We are grateful to those of you that listen in online at am360.org and those that utilize our live streaming 24/7 by dialing into 701-719-4197. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. And we ask you, if you would, to like us on Facebook at Community-Wide Shura Conference, or tweet us at uppercase at CWS, lowercase H-U-R-A-A. And we invite you to visit our parent corporation at Community-Wide Shura Conference, Inc. on our website at CWSC.us. And we invite you, if you would, to leave a listener comment with us. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Alhamdulillah. So we are grateful for us sharing ourselves with us. Praise be to Allah. Sharing ourselves with each other. And at this time, if there are any of you that would like to share from out of the address that the Imam is presenting, Rahim al-Alehi, this morning, we ask that you press one on your phone and share with the listening audience what Allah has blessed you with from out of this wonderful, important address. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. You know, we can say, well, religion, they feed the poor, not that they feed the hungry. They house the homeless. But how much has religion led to the poverty that we see now? How much has religion created the poor that encourage people to disconnect themselves from the world and from proper education? policies that lead to homelessness. How much has religion addressed those policies that create homelessness and create poverty? It's in the Christian scripture, it says the poor will be with us always. But it is not our job to create poverty. It is our job to educate the public, to educate humanity that decreases poverty, that decreases homelessness. Let's speak in the way of industry. Industry, the productive life, the collective. The collective. Corporation means those that cooperate with each other. There should be a collective industry effort. The collective is very important. And it should not be adversarial to the consumers. The producers should not be an adversary to consumers. They should work as a partnership to promote the general welfare, to promote the general good, not in opposition to one another. There will always be producers and consumers. Both groups need each other, and they should work in a collective effort to promote the common welfare, total society, of the total good. We have in our religion the institution known as Zakat. Zakat. It is a financial system. And, you know, Zakat can be translated as the poor do. Poor do. In early churches, there was a designation on the charity slip called the poor do. The poor do. That due means something that is owed, a debt that is owed. The rich would not be rich without the contribution of the poor. So part of your wealth is due to that inextricably partnership that you share with the consumer. It should not be an adversarial situation. It should not be an aggressive, adversarial agreement between producers and consumers. They should work as one to enrich the society in which we live, to promote the general welfare, pardon me, the general welfare of the communities in which we live, in the country in which we live, the world in which we live. But the enemy of mankind have caused division and animosity between the producers and the consumer, constantly at war, constantly seeing each other as enemies. But that is not the way Almighty God would have us behave and look at each other. The producer is a necessary. The consumer is a necessary. And they should work in concert with each other to promote the general welfare of the whole society. Zakat is a system the finances, the social need of the community, the public education, health, public education. These are public necessaries, especially education, to promote proper education. Not miseducation, but proper education, and to also promote the moral stance of the human being, that there is a right and a wrong. They should be representative of that right that Almighty God has identified for us. The best of you is he who is most beneficial to the society in which we live. So the corporate interest and the consumer interest should work together as one composite, as one agreeable entity, to promote the general welfare. If there's any of you that would like to make statements on the address that the imam has made or on the statements that I just made concerning there not being a negative view of producer and consumer, that they should work in partnership with each other, for both entities need each other. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I see no one has pressed one on the phone. And there are those of you that are very profound thinkers that are on this line. And I appreciate you, and I'm grateful for your presence. Praise be to Allah. Error code 914297. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Yaki. Again, just being that no one else called in or whatever, and you could do it another time or whether perhaps if it's not. But when the man had mentioned about this conspiracy, right, I was just, it sparked my curiosity because I just got the small gist of what he was saying. And I wonder if you wouldn't mind if you could, if you would, if you embellish that a little bit for me. If you understand what I'm referring to, that is.
Well, there are many conspiracies. Would you be
more... Oh, okay. No, the one that he was mentioning in this particular lecture, just within the last segment. Let me see if I could... he was saying something about how the Jews, how they wanted to control the Arabs. And whatnot, not the Jews, but this small segment of Jews, that the ones that were working with the Shaitan, as he mentioned, or working with the devil. And I didn't,
Yes, sir, I can definitely speak on that. There was.
Okay. I appreciate it.
There was a thriving community of Jews in Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Sure was. Let me make the connection with us, with the African American in this country.
Mm-hmm.
There were and are Jews that did business with us, that placed their stores in our communities, that offered us credit, and they did business with us. But they did not speak to us that we were in error of calling Jesus the Son of God. They knew that was religiously wrong. They knew that. And they never tried to correct our thinking on that. But they were among us. And they made great wealth from us. Great wealth. They profited from the Christmas celebration while never opening their mouths to share with us the purity of the oneness of Almighty God. That is a conspiracy. Likewise, the Jewish community among the Jahiliyyah Arabs that knew that the Arabs had many, many, many gods and practiced idolatry. Matter of fact, today, you do not see an effort of Jews propagating their faith. As the Imam said, Moses, that the revelation that reached them was not just for them.
Mm-hmm.
It was for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told his followers, go, take this message to the nations, plural. He said, I come not to change the law of Moses, but to fulfill it. So here's a people with no knowledge, and here's a group with superior knowledge, and they take advantage of those with the lesser understanding, the lesser knowledge. When you read the history of Medina, we have shared here on AM 360 the situation that existed in Medina Manawa, the city of enlightenment. You will see in that history that there was a portion of the, now this is not a blanket statement against all Jews, for there are religious, God-fearing Jews. But there was a segment among them that fought against the establishment of El Islam in Medina, and they fought against the Prophet Muhammad being the last messenger, the last prophet to the whole world. They colluded with the pagans that came to wipe out the Prophet Muhammad and the citizens of Medina. They were traitors, and they were banished. And the religious Jews carried out punishment on them. They looked in their book, they looked under the heading of Deuteronomy, and they carried out what was given there. They slayed some of them, and they banished them. So this is not against all Jews.
No.
But I must say, they have lived among us, the African American, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they did business with us. And never did, as far as I know of, never did they sit down and say, let me explain something that I believe you need to know.
Like you said, they kept it to themselves. You know
yes.
what I mean? All among themselves. And
yes.
like you said, it wasn't
yes.
it wasn't all of them, but it was a large segment of them that they did. I mean, I always came to the concept just using math. It says if they're the chosen people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this great message, which he did, and if you was and you said he gave it to you to you, as you received this so that you would spread it throughout the rest of the world, and you didn't do that.
Yes. Yes.
you
yes.
know what I mean? You know. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
next up is the you know, next generation up, you know what I mean? Or next revelation up, as I said, you know, next continuation revelation up. That would be us, you know what I mean? So, and hopefully that, you know, we'll all, you know, become better da'is, so to speak, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we know that Allah blessed us with great blessings and favor here. So, you know, there's an obligation on it. There's a debt on us, you know,
That is one reason why we are working to establish Islamic communities across America.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest propagation is a material demonstration and an actualization of our life. The country called Indonesia, they became Muslim due to their contact. I'm hearing an echo. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, hold on. I don't know if that's me or not, but I took you off speaker just in case if it was.
Okay. They became Muslim because they were impressed by the behavior and the principles of the Muslim businessmen that conducted trade with them, their proficiency in business and their honesty, no corruption. And they became curious to what is the nucleus of this. And the nucleus of their honesty is El Islam. That is what converted populated nation on earth of Muslims, what we call Indonesia. So likewise, in this country, we want to establish our way of life, a demonstration of it, and the inclusion of other people, sharing our desires, sharing our wishes, sharing our standards with other people. We want the same thing that good people in this country want. We want safe neighborhoods. We want strong education. We want a medical facility that truly serves, that truly works to heal people, not just to treat their illness, but to heal them. So all of us want that. So that is the greatest propagator, is to express the similarities that we have in this great America, and also to construct that life. Seeing is believing. People say believe half of what you hear. See? Half of what you hear, but it has to be a material expression. Praise be to Allah. So I'm only saying that you spoke of the, what is that conspiracy, that there were religious Jews in Arabia at that time, and the ungodly. The ungodly Jew was averse to the financial structuring of the society, the financial structuring. No cheating.
That was going to cut them out somewhat, which it would have, which it was, you know, and that's justice. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, yeah.
That's
you
what
know.
I'm saying.
You know, and
yes,
and for them, like you said, to come into our community and rape our community, so to speak, in terms of developing their wealth, you know, building up their wealth off our, you know, our resources and stuff like that, and not, you know, really even giving anything back, in return, in terms of what would be a justifiable return, because even a lot of the products and stuff that was being sold and stuff like that was, you know, we're inferior even, you know, and stuff like that. So that's a good, excellent point that you highlighted. I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that, you know what I mean? And you mentioned about the education and stuff like that. And I'm saying this, as they say, it's one of the two ways that you can, several ways you can really discern the state of a nation, so to speak, in terms of its intent or its prosperity, however you want to look at it, right? So if you look how it treats its elderly and how it treats its youth. So if I look at, like, say, the state of our nation, if I look at the state of our nation, I'll close on this, in terms of I think maybe 8 full-time, full accredited Muslim schools, stuff like that. We, a collective group thinking, whenever, you know, pray that Allah, we should pray more that Allah will bless us to you know, bring that up to par, so to speak. Because even back in the first res, I think we had about 50 universities or something like that. So, you know, we're going forwards or going backwards. So, you know, it's no neutral. As-salamu alaykum. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Wa alaykum as-salam. We are in the process of restructuring, and that had to take place. Sometimes you have to retreat to move forward properly. Sometimes you have to back up and reassess things, then move forward. Khalifa means to lead from behind, see what needs to be done, see the mistakes that were made, see where the weaknesses were. And let that be your guide moving forward. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Yahya. Praise be to Allah. Wonderful question, my brother. Alhamdulillah. Okay. We shall move forward with the address establishing divine help for establishing community.
God obligated him as the messenger of God. And before he passed, he wanted the people to be the witnesses under God, before God, that he had done his job. He would preach and say a line, or make a line of communication, a sentence, communicating to the crowd, doing the great pilgrimage, the last one he was seen with or among. And after he would make the statement, he would then ask the people. He asked God, and then he asked the people too, have I not delivered the message?
Yes.
And their response was, yes, you have, O servant of God, O messenger of God. They were his witnesses that he had done it. Then what did he say at one point in his great farewell address in the pilgrimage on the Holy Land, the precincts of Mecca and that vicinity? What did he say? He said, those who are present, take it to those who are absent. Perchance, which means perhaps or maybe, among them will be some that will understand it better than you do. So here is a man given a great responsibility. As Allah says, that we have set down upon your heart a weighty word. A weighty word. That's the message of Islam. That's the Quran. Great weight, a word of great weight. So here he is, before he dies, passing that responsibility to those who claim to accept that message.
Right.
To those who claim that they accept it and accept God as is revealed in the Quran, and Muhammad as revealed in the Quran, and Islam, the way of religion, as is revealed in the Quran, he now wants to hold them responsible.
Right.
So he puts them on the spot so it would be in history. That they heard and they believed. He didn't leave them in the dark. He left them with the message. And they responded, yes, we are your witnesses. You have delivered the message. And there was no room for anyone to come up and say, well, Muhammad is gone now. Peace be on him, or whatever they would say. You never can tell what they would say if they had this kind of mind. It's time for us now to finish the religion.
Right.
To complete the religion.
Right.
They could have come up and said that. But Allah, long before that, to this day, have I perfected for you your religion.
Right.
And completed my favor on you.
and have chosen for you or preferred for you Islam as the religion. No room for them to come up and say there's some finished work to be done on the idea. And then the prophet wanted to make it clear to them, wanted to have it on record, that they had heard it clearly from him to obligate them to carry it on to those who didn't hear it and will come behind them, generations to come. Well, there's a lot to be said, and the time is running out. Yes, well, there'll be another time, inshallah. He told me the time. I got the time on. Didn't you see me look at my watch? I thought you were going to tell me the time. We got to go out of the building. You keep that. I'm a down-to-earth person, so just excuse me. Yeah, he makes one of the best salads you'll taste anywhere. And he promised me I'm going to go to his house and have a salad. I thought he was going to tell me what time his wife is expecting us to come over there and get it safe. yes. The Quran that God gave Muhammad, we still have it just as God gave it to him. This is what history has preserved for us.
Right.
That it has no change. It's exactly as it came to Muhammad the Prophet. Only challenge for us, the ones that God will favor to qualify for this responsibility, the only challenge is that we learn Quranic Arabic. That's the only challenge. If we learn Quranic Arabic, we can serve the carrying of this message
yes, sir,
on to the next generation
yes, sir,
as the Prophet has obligated us and as Allah obligates us in the Quran.
Yes, sir.
Highly glorified is God. What I'm trying to tell you all is, as individuals, we're just common people. But as a community, we are responsible for the prophetic office of the greatest and last prophet of God, Muhammad. Prayers and peace be upon him. So God gives us this help to establish our individual form. Now he wants this form to be protected by a community system. So then he reveals the community system to his prophet,
right,
his messenger, his servant, Muhammad. And he teaches us that system. He leads us in the disciplines of that system so that we will know that system by word of God, by spirit of God, by word of God, and by practice in society. That's what has been done. So we have help for the individual life form, and we have help for that life form to be established in public life, in society, from Quran. And God says, you are the best community, evolved or raised up or brought out of the world of darkness for the benefit of all people.
Right.
For the benefit of all people. God has obligated the community of Muslims to also live for those who are not Muslim. If we only live as a model of what God wants them to be, if they say, we don't want to hear anything from you Muslim mouths, should we stop living for them? No! We should still live for them as a model, speaking only with his beauty, speaking only with his purity, speaking with his justice, speaking with his wisdom, with his education, speaking with his elevation of man and his mind and his soul and his spirit. speaking to them quietly without saying a word, like a neon sign. Yes, right. We should do that to help them if they won't accept us to join them and work side by side with them and give them the benefit of Al-Islam. Thank you very much. Peace, and may God forgive us our errors and give us the destiny. Ameen.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman.
Praise be to Allah. Okay. That concludes the address of Imam Muhammad on Revelation for Divine Help for Establishing Community Life. Praise be to Allah. I want to share with you now some important public service announcements. We have about 13 minutes of broadcast time left, and the lines are open. If you would like to share what Allah blessed you with from out of this wonderful address, press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. This is a study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Wasiuddin Muhammad. We are utilizing the group intellect. No one of us know it all, but collectively, we are the answer. Praise be to Allah. No one of us know it all, but collectively, we are the answer for the ills of the society in which we live. Praise be to Allah. So I ask you now, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah. Press one on your phone and share what Allah has blessed you with from out of this wonderful address. You know, charity is more than just giving money. Charity is sharing your understanding. It's sharing your valuable thoughts. It's giving of yourself. Yourself is your thinking. Praise be to Allah. Yourself is your thinking. The thinking comes from your soul. If your soul has been touched by what we have presented this morning, I ask that you do the charitable thing and share what Allah has blessed you with from this wonderful address, Divine Help in Establishing the Community of Life. So I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Greetings. This is Priscilla Lukta of the University of Islam and Clara Muhammad School National Alumni Association. We support CWSC and AM360 because of their support of our group intellect. From the Model Communities National Resource Directory and Speakers Bureau to American Muslim 360 Broadcasting and more. Join in helping to build our national intelligentsia. If not me and you, then who? Visit CWSC.us today to make your tax-deductible gift at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Imam Dr. Wazir Ali, and I want to talk to you about something that strikes at the very heart of our families and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses and that helps us to see an even deeper and systemic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me are a We Too movement in which we say no more. We must be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors, hold workshops in your community, invite experts to learn more, and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and all the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? A public service message from the CWSC and AM 360.
So I was telling my brothers, if they ever had daughters, to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things, and take them on little, have little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated, so they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and if I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like, because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Back, praise be to Allah. We have shared with you the address, Revelation for Divine Help for Establishing Community Life, praise be to Allah. And we have to admit that we have received divine help with the introduction of the Quran in our life and the life example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praise be to Allah. There is no area where the Quran has came into existence that area of the earth did not make some progress on the life of human beings. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Imam Muhammad, his last statement in this address was, I wrote it down as a note for myself. Yes, so that I become conscious of it, that we are responsible for the prophetic office of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a public life. We should have a public life in the society. And we should live for those that are not Muslims as a model for all people, as a model for all people. I want to share with you another public service announcement, and you're speaking to a very important part of our obligation, and that is we should be willing to invest in the life in which Almighty God has given us. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
For more than 30 years, Amana Mutual Funds have provided halal investment vehicles serving the unique needs of the Muslim community. Discover how you can align your investments with your principles in a retirement, health, or education savings account, or invest for Hajj. To obtain this and other important information in a prospectus or summary prospectus, please visit www.amanafunds.com or call toll-free 1-800-732-6262. Please read the prospectus and consider an investment's objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. The Amana Funds limit the securities they purchase to those consistent with Islamic principles. This limits opportunities and may affect performance.
Praise be to Allah, and we are back. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah says, invest. Spend on your own soul. Spend. Spend means invest. It's an investment with a return. So, you know, we have to be willing. No one else is responsible, praise be to Allah, for establishing the Islamic community on the earth other than Muslims. And we have to be willing to invest in the life that Allah has provided for us. That means not only just the words we say, not just our religious rituals, but we have to be willing to invest money to establish a life for us, establish institutions outside of the masjid. Uh-oh, something has happened to my computer. I don't know if you're hearing me, but it went, oh, there we go. I had to get it back. Praise be to Allah. So anyway, I have asked us, I don't know, you know, how far this will go, but in our local masjid, what in the world is going on? I'm losing my, it's going, okay, praise be to Allah. Okay, so anyway, just in mutual consultation, I agree what the community you live in would like to establish outside of the masjid and be willing to invest in that, inshallah. Boy, my computer's going black. Let me see. So anyway, I invite you to tune back in for the following broadcast, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, hosted by our beloved Imam Delacy Umar. Alhamdulillah, is a wonderful broadcast, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Somebody is messing with my computer. It's going back to something. I don't know what is going on here, but let me get it together. See, yeah, I know what it is. We are addressing a very important part of our Islamic life, encouraging us to invest in it, encouraging us to actually create the community life. Praise be to Allah. So you praise before I'm telling, alhamdulillah, I'm losing my vision of the studio board, but I ask you if you would tune in to the next following broadcast, Preparing to Make It in the Land of As-salamu alaykum, praise be unto you, peace be unto you.